Good morning, listener. In this microcast, I'm going to be discussing Walter Hill's 1979 film, The Warriors. It's not going to be a review, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I'm going to be talking about what I like about the film, the elements that interest me, and why I think it's gone on to be such a classic of cult cinema. As evidence of its popularity and its place in late 20th century cult cinema, we can look to the way it was brought back on Blu-ray by HMV a couple of years ago in a box that made it look like a VHS cover, kind of box, as if it was a video cassette, along with other films such as 48 Hours, also directed by Walter Hill, and Beverly Hills Cop. It's got its place in that kind of 1980s video culture. So for those who don't know, it's set in the near future in New York, where a gang called the Warriors are travel across the city from their home in Coney Island to a place in the Bronx where all other gangs in the city are gathering together to discuss the forming of a union that would bring all the gangs into one that they could then go and take over the city. But it all goes wrong when the person who's come up with this idea, Cyrus, is shot by a rival gang, and the murder is framed on the Warriors. The Warriors then have to get back across New York City, about 30 miles back to their home in Coney Island, with every other gang in the city out to get them. I think it's one of those quintessential New York movies. Even in the title sequence, the wonderful opening title sequence, where we've got the camera tracking across the subway map. Right? The geography of the city is really important. I also think that The Warriors epitomises the idea of New York as the Fear City, which refers to this 1975 pamphlet that was handed out by uniformed union members to visitors to New York in places like train stations and airports. It was like a satirical pamphlet that gave visitors a series of warnings on what not to do in New York City. Things like, look after your valuables, don't ride the subway at night, etc., etc. And the whole idea was to draw attention to austerity measures that uniformed service workers believed was leading to the kind of deterioration of the city and making the city a far more dangerous place to be. But the film is kind of borderline science fiction. It's set, supposed to be set in the near future, which accounts maybe for the lack of extras and lack of people walking around. The overall kind of comic book style mood that it has. For those who know the film, they'll realise how important this kind of outlandish gang iconography is. You know, all the gangs have a particular look about them. The Warriors themselves have a kind of Native American style. Others include the Hi-Hats, who look like kind of mime artists. There's the Baseball Furies, which look like the band Kiss a little bit, with their kind of white makeup on the face, dressed up in baseball outfits, swinging, of course, baseball bats. And various other gangs that are dressed in outlandish, idiosyncratic ways. Now, so popular was this style that Walter Hill employed, this over-the-top style, that it was ripped off by a number of Italian films like Bronx Warriors and Escape from the Bronx, which also alluded to films such as John Carpenter's Escape from New York from 1981 and the Australian Mad Max from 1979. The Warriors takes its place alongside films of that ilk. The role of women is really interesting in the film. We see two individual female characters. One, the character of Mercy, who has quite a big role, who's kind of taken, not quite kidnapped, she goes along quite willingly with the Warriors from another gang. There's lots of allusions to her being very promiscuous, but she's not in any way ashamed of this. And she says, well, it's better that than bringing up three kids and being a housewife. Another female character appears in just one scene where she's hanging around in a park after dark on a bench, who attracts the attentions of one of the Warriors who's called Ajax. And that doesn't go well for him. And thirdly, there's a female gang called the Lizzies who appear in one terrific sequence. And in all of these instances, the expectations of the role that the women will play is kind of turned on its head. The misogyny that you hear throughout the films leading up to these sequences is kind of delivered back at the male characters. Not many of the cast went on to do massively brilliant things. James Remar, who plays the aforementioned Ajax, he's in a couple of Tarantino films in very minor roles, Django Unchained, and I believe he's in a deleted scene in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And the other actor who didn't go on to do a great deal in terms of high-profile work was Michael Beck, who plays Swan, who takes over as the leader of the Warriors. He's quite an extraordinarily handsome man in this film, and clearly situated as the lead. But for some reason, he didn't have a great movie career after this, even though he is fantastic in this film. If you get the Blu-ray of The Warriors now, you'll notice that it comes with newly created inserts that appear intermittently throughout the film that make it look like a comic book. They take the original footage and kind of rotoscope it slightly to make it look as if it's a comic. The Blu-ray also comes with an introduction explaining this by Walter Hill himself. My personal opinion is that these are dreadful. They add absolutely nothing to the film. And in one of the most famous sequences where the Warriors come up against the Baseball Furies, it actually ruins the start of that sequence. In the original, the Warriors leave a subway station and you can see, and they stop dead. And they look out at something that you can't see. And they look terrified. And the suspense builds up slightly when we wonder, as the audience, what they're looking at. Then it cuts to what we can see, which is the Baseball Furies waiting for them, swinging their baseball bats, ready to attack. Very suspenseful, very fun moment. In the new version that you'll watch with the comic book inserts, it completely destroys that moment. They come out of the subway station, the Warriors, and then it cuts to a cartoon version of the Baseball Furies, completely ruining the suspense of the moment. I hate the cartoon sequences. If you can in any way watch the original, please try to do so. I do believe the version that's knocking around on Amazon Prime is the original. But I just want to end by talking about two of my favourite sequences. One, when the DJ notifies all the other gangs through the medium of radio that the Warriors are responsible for shooting Cyrus. And she plays the record Nowhere to Run by Martha and the Vandellas. Although it's not Martha and Vandellas in the film, it's by a man called Arthur McCullough. It's a cover version, but a truly terrific song. And this plays over the soundtrack while we can see all the other gangs either listening to the radio and formulating their plans in their minds, or even getting ready. We see the Baseball Furies leaving their hideout, selecting their individual baseball bats and walking out into the streets to try and get the Warriors. Fantastic sequence, really good fun. And the other sequence I like, which I think is truly one of the most exhilarating sequences in cinema history, is the opening titles, where all the gangs congregate in the city by using the subway, and we see them all making their journey in the trains, going to the rendezvous. If you've seen the sequence, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen the film, I think you're really in for a treat. Make sure when you watch it, you've got the volume up high. So, that's Walter Hill's The Warriors. Go and enjoy.